ahead.
Well, it's looking better. I would say that when you get those five, six, seven bills down there for your signature, the average will go up about 2 or 3%. We'll do better in the weeks ahead before the fourth.
And the others you got left, too, some of them are pretty good people. I mean, the Morse group, for instance, he moves education pretty well. He's got a hell of a thing on his hands. I don't know how to solve it, this airline strike. He did an exceptional job there, just an unbelievable one, and they just turned him down flat.
Well.
And we had two real good liberal, Dave Ginsburg, who used to be with Henderson, the OPA, you remember him, don't you? And Dick Neustadt. And they asked for $4.04, and they gave him $4. Mm-hmm. And they asked for reopen it when the consumer's price index went up, so they provided it. If it went up as much as 1% above the average, they could. And they gave them 4 weeks vacation after 15 years. And this guy just really wants to cause trouble.
Well, Wayne seems to think that both sides are in cahoots.
He does?
Yeah. He thinks, a couple of days ago he said he didn't think either one of them really wanted a settlement, but this was a good settlement, and...
Well, I think the...
Take it.
He's, he knows more about it than anybody, but I think the airlines will settle for damn near anything. They're making so much money,
and
they don't want to close down.
Yeah.
And I think that they would, but we're afraid if they don't, why, cause this problem. What I called you about, though, this morning, I was quite distressed at Dirksen's statement yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I called him about it. I went out to hospital to see him before I went out to see you. Before you went to hospital, I went out to see the Vietnamese fellas and Eisenhower and Dirksen all that one time. And I sat down and talked to Dirksen and told him about what was going on in Vietnam and told him our big problem with the petroleum supplies. He said, well, you want me to come down and meet with you? I said, no, I don't have anything to meet about. This is just one of the problems, decisions we have. Either way you go, it'll be bad. He said, well, his views were pretty clear on it. He gave them to me. And that was about all of it. He came out of the hospital and he gave an interview that said he thought they ought to have a meeting. So I called him up and said, I'd be glad to have a meeting. Who do you want in the meeting? When do you want it? I said, I thought we ought to bring everybody up to date, so after a Security Council met the other day, I asked Russ to go and Speaker and Mansfield and meet with both sides with all the leadership before he went to Brussels and answer any questions they wanted to ask and brief them, and they did that. He said, well, that was all right. He didn't think there's any need for any meeting. I said, well, if you do, come on down. I'm ready here. I'm here 7 days a week. No, he didn't want it. Yesterday, he made the same statement. So he said that there's a crisis of confidence because I thought we ought to have a meeting and make it clear. So I called him again and told him I'd be glad to see him. And what had developed since we talked? He said, well, these fellows on my side are talking, I think, about Ford and Laird. Put pressure on. I've got to throw them a piece of meat now and then. And I said, well, now, I'll be glad to have a meeting. When do you want it? Who would you like to have come? Would you like to have the overall leadership or you just want the Senate? No, he said, I've just said what I want to say, and I'm with you all the way, and you don't need to worry about that. Now, I don't know whether, I guess he's just playing a little politics.
Well, the AP asked about it yesterday, and I said, well, he had suggested that the day he got out of the hospital. Then 2 or 3 days later, he said there was no need for it. Now he's coming back the same thing, and I said the president would be glad to see him with leadership at any time they desired, or any senator who would make the request.
Yes, I told him to bring anyone he wanted to, any time. And I told Hickenlooper that yesterday at the lunch for the Nicaraguan president. And I'll tell you that now, and any of them come to you, raise any question. You tell them that you'll have Rusk in their office in an hour, or you'll have McNamara, or you'll have that you'll have an appointment with me. Any one of them want to talk about anything. We'll just make the Senate priority matter on any information that we can give them.
I've had no request.
But you let them know, because I've told the ranking members, I've told Russell now, and I've told them, I went to see you in the hospital, I went to see Dirksen, and I've reported pretty well to everybody that I know of. I've had all the Senate in this year. Do you think maybe we ought to have them all in again? I think it might just stir up things more than they are. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't unless there's an increased cry, and I don't detect any.
Well,
if things develop otherwise, then you can reconsider the situation.
All right. Now, I had Harry to make a careful study again. Just between us, Mike, our friend Rayburn is leaving us.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like man, and he's quitting. And I rather think I might put in him. Do you have any reaction?
Oh, I don't even know the fellow. I have no reaction. He's the one you said that's the old pro down there?
Yeah. I don't know how he'd get along with the Hill. He doesn't know a thing in the world about politics. Never got elected.
Well, that's an important factor you have to consider.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He's a newspaper man, and he gets along with all the press. They all like him. And all of the folks like him and seem to trust him more than they do a fellow with a military background. They didn't like McCone much, and...
Yes, they liked McCone. He was pretty good. Did you turn that CIA thing over to Harry?
Yes. I discussed it with him. I asked him to review it and make recommendations, and told him just about my feeling, and I'm going to see him today and get a report from him on it.
Good.
I told him to talk to you. Did he see you?
Not yet.
But
I'll have a talk with him.
He wants to see you, and I told him to see Dirksen. I told him to see Russell. I told him study the rules. And my own feeling is that our position ought to be that we just... this is a matter for the Senate. And if under their rules, certain committees have jurisdiction. They determine what jurisdiction certain committees have. If they want to change that jurisdiction, why, they can do it, but I wouldn't mess in it. And I think then that would require, probably you have to bring that up. And I would guess maybe then that somebody'd clear the floor and let them debate it.
It will be cleared. It will be cleared. If this is brought up on the floor, and it looks like it will be, we'll go into executive session.
Do you have any thoughts about any other things in the world?
No, sir. No, sir. Not at all.
What do you think about Vietnam?
Well, I'm not happy about it any more than you are.
No, nobody
I was
is.
A little bit disturbed by... Lodge's first paragraph in his weekly report to you about heavier bombing, which I assume meant the Haiphong Hanoi complex or was leading up to it. I think it'd be a most serious mistake, because those places have been evacuated to a degree, except for industrial needs. So there won't be much damage hurt, but you've got Joplin's 120 or 30,000 man army waiting, and if you knock them out of there, they'll say, "What the hell? We've got nothing to lose. Let's go." And they won't come down in divisional strength. They'll just disperse those divisions into guerrilla units, and it'll be awfully hard for us to maintain the ratio needed. As far as petroleum is concerned, I don't think it pays a hell of a lot in the life of the Viet Cong, or the Vietnamese, rather. As far as mining or blockading Haiphong Harbor is concerned, you've got more stuff going out of Haiphong than going in. Very little's coming in at Haiphong. The ships have been reduced considerably. What British ships are left are usually under Hong Kong registry and are struck, maybe under the ownership of the communists. You run up against other nations and create a situation is already difficult. You make it more difficult. It's just a hell of a can of worms. If you really go at them, this could turn into an open-ended war, and other countries would begin to criticize us more than they are at the present.
I think that nearly everybody, well, they're not going to mine the thing, and they're not going to bomb any industrial complex. What they're going to try to do is take out the POLs. They find the petroleum supply is almost double what it was last year. Their needs are, and their supplies are stored there, and they're trying to get rid of that storage and disperse it. And they're scattering it around where we can't get to it with the individual bombs. They're putting it underground and putting it in concrete, and they won't take it out before it's all gone. And they're just about to walk out on it. They think it's a tragic mistake not to destroy that petroleum that's supplying 10,000 trucks that are coming down there. It's in the edge. It's kind of like Mount Vernon or Alexandria or Arlington in Washington, D.C. I seem to be the only one that's afraid that they'll hit the United States Capitol or hit the hospital or hit a school or something. They don't think so, but I see so many of these airplanes that get off all the time. They don't like this B-70 thing, and they just constantly make mistakes. And
you don't know when these planes will fly over into China.
Oh, they do that.
Two or three or four already.
They do that. I don't think that'd be a problem here, but just as they do get off over there, they're liable to get off here. And if they get off one little inch here, you could drop a bomb on a school or on a hospital, and that's quite different from the oil. Now, the experts say that the oil is not going to infuriate or inflame them more than the bridges that we're taking out running to China now.
Yeah.
That is about as big a needle as we can put in them what we're doing now, but the oil is so much more important because they've got to have it for their trucks, and then now we've got their light plant knocked out, and they knocked out one of ours yesterday, too, that we got to take out the oil. Now, we just keep delaying these decisions for various reasons. It's somebody going to on a mission. This time, Rusk is in Brussels. You can't do it. When you get back, we've got another fella going to Hanoi, and things of that kind. That it's pretty hard to do this while this going on, because they'll say that you do it. But the military and the fellas out there, Westmoreland, just feel like that you're just letting them shoot our men unnecessarily, that you ought to stop this. You ought to make it as difficult. You can't stop it, but make it as difficult for them to get supplies as possible, or you oughtn't to be in there. And that's another thing, none of them think you can get out this year. They all think that while they're just the casualties are hell like hell, they killed several hundred yesterday in one raid. We just give them a mopping up every time we meet them. They nevertheless think that we're going to be there all year.
I wish it was only just a year, Mr. President, but I'm afraid it may be something longer. Unless there's a break somewhere in between.
Do you see anything further that we can be doing on the negotiating front?
No, sir. The only thing is De Gaulle sending Jean Santonet, an old China hand, to Hanoi and Peking after Coup de Morville had conversations with the North Vietnamese accredited delegate to Paris, indicate that something might be in the wind, and I would assume that Vietnam would be a matter of the highest priority when De Gaulle goes to Moscow and meets with the hierarchy over there on the 20th of this month. I'm assuming, of course, that you're still maintaining your indirect contacts that you can with Hanoi, but no break so far in sight. But you got to keep trying, and you are.
Okay, my friend.
Okay.
You listen, Mike. You might bring up this question with Dirksen and see if he wants to come down. Tell him that you saw in the paper where he wanted to do it, and you're ready to come anytime he wants to.
Okay, I'll talk to him.
I'd matter.